It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America. I hope you are having a tremendous Tuesday. This is where I'm going to be for the next 3 hours. This is a 4-hour show. I get started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I might be in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He's in New York City. And don't matter where you at, thank you for being here. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. If you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, and if you got an internet connection, hey, if you got YouTube, you can now watch the show. You can watch the JR Sport Brief Show live via the Infinity Sports Network YouTube channel. Just search Infinity Sports Network on YouTube and boom, we pop right on up. We have so much to discuss. We've talked about it. Antonio Pierce fired as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders after 1 year. Tyreek Hill, apparently, at least the team feels that now he doesn't want to be traded. We talked about Ezekiel Elliott. What is the likelihood that he is really going to play for the Chargers? I mean, based on their running back situation, everybody's ankles hurt. He might actually have to go out there and play. And we have so much more to get into as the show continues on. Scott Gobranson is going to join us from Silver and Black today. Next hour, we're going to be joined by Jason Kabinda, who used to play linebacker for Penn State. We'll talk with him about the college football playoff. And if you want to talk to us, you can. Phone lines are open. The phone number works. We paid our electric bill. We paid our phone bill. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And I can't believe this. Zion Williamson is supposed to play basketball in another hour from now. Jimmy Butler pretty much whined and cried, starting to whine and cry his way out of Miami. Now he has a destination list as to where he wants to go. It's just hilarious. Athletes, I guess if you're making millions of dollars, who cares about how people feel about you in the court of public opinion? You're going to do what's in your best interest, regardless of what hit your reputation takes, right? Athletes, they don't think about I'm beholden to a place or a city or a team. They want to get their money. Like, do you think Tyreek Hill cares how I feel or you feel or how Dolphins fans feel? He don't care. He's getting paid. He wants his money. He wants to go where he wants. Those days of loyalty to a team, to an organization, those days are over. You're finished. Don't expect them to come back. Not when these guys are making 30 and 40 and 50 and now $60 million a year. Throw it out the window. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And shout outs to everybody watching during the stream. A left turn, Baron, Luke, Kevin. I see you guys in the stream. But let's go to the phone lines and talk to Dave. Dave is here from New York. Dave, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Yeah, JR. Queens over here. How you doing, bud?
I'm very well. What's up?
I'm good, man. Yeah, Tyreek's not a foxhole guy. Definitely not. The thing is, I'm calling about Shady Brady, okay? How is this guy a national broadcaster, the big-time number one guy, and an owner? Nobody else is allowed to do it. Like, this guy always seriously gets allowed to do everything. He doesn't have to sell his – I was waiting for the day he had to sell his stake in the Raiders. But then, of course, a reprieve came last minute, 24-hour before the final sentencing, and the judges said, no, you can keep it, Shady Brady. Like, why does he get to do that? Now he doesn't even have, he's not even allowed to go into locker rooms, and he likes that probably. He could stay, prepare his own way. So he wins like that. And yeah, it's like a slap to everybody. And, like, how is this? I never thought I would see this in my life, or that a national broadcaster or a broadcaster, nonetheless, with press credentials, can be an owner. because it's a big, you know.
Well,
what do you think?
The reason why, and so just for clarity,
yeah.
There was an agreement for him to purchase his stake. It wasn't finalized, and it was pretty much finalized when the other owners said, yeah, sure, he can go about doing it. With these conditions, some of the conditions, the biggest one that you mentioned, you know, being the owner of an organization, Tom Brady just can't willy nilly just run into the Chiefs organization. But here's the answer. And it's very simple because the other owners, they allowed it. They agreed. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing else. I mean, if you put 32 guys, 31 other guys in a room and just say, hey, by the way, we want Tom Brady to have a stake in the Raiders. And they don't care, then that's what it is. And they put these parameters up, but they don't care.
I really like those parameters because that's a double, triple standard. And it's just, you know, it's ridiculous because, you know, you want to see the guy be told no once in his darn life. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean?
I think his wife told him no. What you want?
That was kind of a setup at the end. You know, I did business. First of all, Giselle's been in her 40s for like 13 years. I mean, seriously, when's this lady going to turn 50? She's been 41 for like since I've been, you know, my birthday's come and go. She's 41 forever, perpetually.
Can
I just say one more thing about Rex?
Rex the footman?
Yeah, Rex the footman, who's a real, you know, I like Rex, but I don't want to, look, Billy Martin, when he came back to the Yankees, at least he went to Oakland, you know, and the Yankees took him back, everything. Rex didn't go anywhere. He just went into
He went to the Bills. He was on the Bills.
No, I mean after the Jets, he went to the Bills, but since then, he's been in the studio just being like a morning gabber, and I don't find that too good. I want him on the sideline, but my thing with him is, Rex, if you really were hungry, you know, go to college. You know, there was his son was at Clemson. You know, he could have went to a college job and stayed in the game instead of gabbing on the morning show. And then number two,
being on the morning show is probably, it gave him the biggest pulpit to get a job back so much that the New York Jets interviewed him.
Well, yeah, but they're the only team interviewing a lot. Do you see it?
It's the Jets. Like, I wouldn't touch. Why? Why do I want to go back to my ex-girlfriend for?
I wouldn't
my
touch ex-girl, him.
My ex-girlfriend is my ex for a reason. Why do I? Hey, let's put it this way, Dave. It is January 7th.
Mm-hmm.
The year is 2025.
Yes, sir.
Thanksgiving dinner might have been great. But do you want to go in the depths of the refrigerator and dig out old Thanksgiving dinner? Nobody wants that on January 7th. Nobody.
And no one else wants Rex. No other team's interviewing except the Jets, which is name's on any other list. I look at all the lists. I've been checking all that. He's not on any of the lists.
He needs to look at feet and move on with his life. But
well, you know what? With him, you know, with him, you know. The one more thing about him, I want Kingsbury for the Jets. That's who I want. I think he'd be a rock star. And thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm listening.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you, Dave. Yeah, I wouldn't be mad. Cliff Kingsbury would be a better option than Rex Ryan. And that'd be so dumb. It'd be so New York Jets dumb, wouldn't it be? Like, they just got rid of a defensive coach in Rob Saleh. Who, by the way, the New York Jets were one of the best defensive teams in the NFL when they fired him. And the minute that Rob Saleh got the boot, I don't care how much people love that guy Brick who took over. The defense fell off of a cliff. The New York Jets need a quarterback and somebody to develop the quarterback. What you bringing in Rex Ryan for? Come on now. Jets are bad. There's so many bads. And I just tweeted this out as well, or X'd it, whatever the hell you call this thing, on Elon Musk's thing. I said, what's the most dysfunctional NFL franchise? Is it, you know, somebody, Abe Gordon said, this is an outstanding question. He said, there are like six right answers. I guess all the teams that don't have a coach right now. You can tweet me at JR Sport Brief. There's no answer. Matter of fact, speaking of the Jets, let's listen to their terrible, terrible owner, Woody Johnson, on Sunday. After the New York Jets beat the Dolphins and Tom Brady threw four touchdowns, tried to show everybody he still has something. Woody Johnson said, I am so proud at how my New York Jets ended the season. And my son, he had nothing to do with it.
Everybody thought this was going to, not just me, thought this was a talent, but all the networks that are paying millions of dollars, they put us in five prime time, six prime time. So everybody thought this was going to be unbelievable. So from that standpoint, yeah, we didn't live up to that early opinion of virtually everybody. But we ended up well, because I don't care about anything else, but a win at the end was good. And so we beat them today. They played well. They didn't give up. Everybody showed up, and we did some really nice things.
Oh, what a loser. We did some really nice things at the end. Come on, man. Hickey, is he going back to the United Kingdom? Did Trump make him the ambassador yet? Well, what are we waiting for?
No. Unfortunately for Jets fans, he's here for good.
That's right. He gave the job to somebody else.
That's right. So he's not going anywhere.
Your Jets owner's a loser, too. It's like his team. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow.
How do you be a bad ambassador?
I don't know. Bad man. I guess if you're the ambassador to the United Kingdom, I don't know.
It seems pretty simple.
I've been over there. They got some rules, don't they, right?
If they follow the rules? Simple, right?
I don't know. She's not here anymore, but for instance, you meet the queen, you don't touch her, I think, right?
Okay, that could be applied to almost any other walk of life, so that's a good rule to have. Pretty simple to follow.
You think Woody Johnson met her and gave her a hug?
Well, Woody doesn't seem to abide by many rules. Would I be surprised? Okay. Probably not.
He put his elbows on the table at dinner.
Can't do that.
Can't do that. Not in front of the
matters.
Queen.
Not in front of the queen. She can't see those elbows.
Yeah, not the elbows, yeah. Anyway, he got fired. the Jets are. There's so many teams that are a joke. Mark Davis, we talked about him. We'll get into that more with our guest, Scott Gulbranson, who'll be here with us in about 10 minutes. There's just so, like, even yesterday, hilarious. The New England Patriots getting rid of Gerard Mayo after 1 year. They kissed. Let me not just say they. The owner, Robert Kraft, kissed his ass last year. At the Hickey, this is why I don't take any of this stuff serious. It's almost comical. They had Gerard Mayo's entire family at the press conference last year. They had his grandparents at the press conference last year. Robert Kraft went through an entire list of all of his family who was in attendance. His mother, his stepfather, his grandparents, all of these people. And he's just like, I heard amazing things about your grandparents. And then last year he said, Gerard Mayo, yeah, we've been thinking about a succession plan. He's the right guy to lead the team after Belichick. Listen to what Robert Kraft said almost exactly a year ago.
So I've been running businesses for more than 50 years, and in my experience, the most successful leadership transitions happen when we're privileged to develop talent from within, and that allows us to create a succession plan that allows the candidate to better prepare for the opportunity when he arrives.
Yeah, and that is supposed to be Gerard Mayo. That's what he said last year about Gerard, while he was sitting right next to him. And this is what he said yesterday.
This whole situation is on me. I feel terrible for Gerard because I put him in an untenable situation. I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job.
Now, I'm supposed to believe in this guy? I'm supposed to believe that Hickey, he sold paper. That's what he did. He sold paper.
Oh, really? I did not know that. He's a paper salesman, huh?
Yeah, he sold paper. Not even newspaper, just paper. He sold paper.
Printer paper, huh?
The same way that me and you, we're going to sell air. Hickey, we're going to sell air. We're going to sell air. And we're going to make billions of dollars, and we're gonna buy our own football team.
I love it. Let's go. Sign me up.
Look, Arthur Blank, man sold wood.
Taught men how to be real men with a hammer.
Yeah, he sold wood at Home Depot. He's okay. Great for him. Robert Kraft sold paper. Woody Johnson is an heir to a Band-Aid company. Now they sell needles and vaccines. Don't tell Aaron Rodgers. What else?
Don't forget Shad Khan, muffler salesman.
He sells. That's another guy. Shad Khan got rich off of selling mufflers. And that's another comedian. He sat this man yesterday. He fired Doug Peterson. He said, I'm going to keep my general manager, Trent Baalke. And during the press conference, which was virtual, Trent Baalke is right there. And a reporter asked Shad Khan specifically, if a new coach wants to fire Trent Baalke, what are you going to do? Listen to Shad Khan.
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, you want to do it. Okay.
He's talking about firing the guy who's on the call with him. Like, in what world do you do that? These guys are nutty. They make so much money. I mean, damn, what can you... They're billionaires for selling mufflers, but running a football team? Terrible. Justin Verlander going to the Giants on a one-year deal. I hope his body lasts. It's the JR Sportbreeze Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to go to another dysfunctional organization. We're going to talk about the Raiders. Scott Gobranson is going to join us from the Silver and Black today. We're going to ask him about Antonio Pierce and Mark Davis and Tom Brady and Max Crosby and the quarterback and the draft and all of that. Scott Gobranson, the other side. The JR Sportbreeze Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Another NFL coaching vacancy. This team is used to it. It's the Raiders. They get rid of Antonio Pierce after 1 year full time on the job. Who's next? What do they do at the draft position that they have at number six in a few months? What's Tom Brady's full role? Is he running the organization? Is he calling the shots? What do they do at quarterback? To talk about it all, as someone who hosts Silver and Black today, Scott Gobranson is joining us here. Scott, I appreciate the time, man.
Oh, hey, JR. Anytime, man. It's always good to talk to you. And been an eventful day once again in Raider Nation.
Not a surprise, right, Scott? None at all?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
No, that's it. The number of coaches that have run through the Raider organization is obviously unprecedented, and it's clearly a sign that the organization hasn't been run well. You know, Mark Davis did a great job getting into Las Vegas. The value of the franchise is significant. It's tied for 12th most valuable franchise in all of pro sports. But the on the field, the football decisions in the front office, the hiring of coaches, GMs, has really been a disaster. And you mentioned Tom Brady, and perhaps that's going to be the end of the line for that. And maybe Tom Brady's going to be able to bring some semblance of consistency and regularity to this Raiders franchise.
Yeah, I mean, he's a minority owner. Of course he's going to have a voice. But is he and should he not be pretty much the end-all, be-all when it comes down to football decisions outside of Mark Davis just looking at him and going, yeah, okay?
Yeah, I think him in conjunction with the current GM, which is Tom Telesco, who just came for this season, was his first season and had a pretty good first-year draft with three of his picks starting on offense by the time the year was over, so including Brock Bowers, of course. But I think that we've all, the folks that have covered the team have always said Mark Davis always means well, but he needed somebody to kind of run that football operation above the GM, somebody who can kind of oversee all that, let him be the owner, let him do what he's going to do. And yeah, he might have final rubber stamp on some contracts and things like that. But when it came to understanding the game, having the connections within the game, that's where I think they've had a problem. And I think Tom Brady coming in, the way Mark Davis has described it, JR, has been that he's going to have heavy involvement in all of the football decisions. What that exactly means, he hasn't defined yet, but I think we'll be learning that in the next week or two.
Scott Gobranson is joining us here. Host of the Silver and Black today. This is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, Tom Brady hasn't necessarily received the most glowing reviews when it comes down to broadcasting. He's making a lot of money, $37 million per, and it's a 10-year deal. Do you think he's going to see this contract all the way through because he wants the cash and maybe purchase a larger piece? Or do you think at some point there's so much of a conflict of interest? What do you think is going to be his role going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question, JR. And I think that if you look at when they approve the minority ownership stake for Tom Brady and the Raiders, it limits what he could do. For example, if he's doing a game, he can't go on the practice field. He can't go to the pre-production meetings. So he's very limited in what he can do because he is an owner. He can't go to regular practices anymore for any of the teams he covers because, remember, he owns one of their competitors. So my guess is, and it's a lot of money, I don't know, there hasn't been a good guess on what's going to happen with the Fox situation, and can he walk away from the contract and they just call it, hey, it's great, we did the 1 year, and now I'm going to be an owner and be involved in football decisions, so I'm moving on. It's going to be real interesting to see that piece of it, because from what everything that we've been told is that Tom Brady wants to be heavily involved. This is his way to get back into football without being a player on the field.
Well, now that he's involved and Mark Davis is there, Antonio Pierce is no longer the coach, what direction do you think they're going to go in? I mean, is Brady and Vrabel, do they have a great relationship? Does Brady want to work with someone who's a little bit more green and can be molded? What are your thoughts on how this is going to round out on what will be, I guess, Mark Davis's ninth coach?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think the way people have made connecting the dots, JR, has been, okay, yeah, Mike Vrabel, he is close with Tom Brady. That makes sense. But yet then the Patriot job opens up, right? So then you have that. Then you also have Mike Vrabel interviewing in Chicago. So it'll be interesting to see what he needs to do. This Raiders team clearly still does not have an answer at quarterback. So who better than maybe the greatest quarterback to ever play could sit in there and help you decide what you're going to do there. But from a coaching perspective, I've heard so many people talk about defensive coaches, and there's great examples of like D'Amico Ryans in Houston, who's done a great job, even though he's a defensive-minded coach. The offense has done well because he's got Bobby Slowick down there. So I think my guess would be that Tom Brady is going to use his relationships, and I would guess he'd take a big swing, JR, and go for one of these young, offensive-minded assistant coaches. Ben Johnson's going to be hard to get. He's going to go wherever he wants. But you got Joe Brady in Buffalo. You have Liam Cohen down in Tampa Bay. Something tells me that Tom Brady is going to want to put his own touch on things, and I think that's the direction he goes.
You mentioned quarterback. Unfortunately, Antonio Pierce was saddled with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, I guess whoever was healthy on a given week. What can they do from a stopgap perspective, and what do you think they'll do in the draft? Is there a real possibility that the Raiders move up from number 6 to get a Cam or a Shador? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's a great quandary for them because they need it so badly, yet the quarterback class isn't great. Like you said, once you get past Shador and Cam Ward, it falls off there. So I don't know if they absolutely love, and if Tom Brady, Tom Telesco are in love with Shador Sanders, maybe they'll try. But there, as you know, there's quarterback needy teams ahead of them. I don't know that some of those teams will trade out. Maybe they will. But I think what ends up happening, if I had to give you an answer today on what will happen, my guess is they're going to have Aiden O'Connell still under contract. He's a good backup quarterback. He's never going to be a franchise guy. And then they might sign another veteran and then look to get a quarterback on day two and hope that you can strike gold with the Jackson Darts, the Jaden Milroes of the world, and try to maybe get somebody that, they weren't a first-round pick, but maybe you can develop them. And if you have the right coach, then maybe you can. If you have the right offensive-minded coach, maybe you can accelerate learning and find out if you have it. And then if not, JR, then they got to take a quarterback the next year. So I think this is the kind of thing in the NFL, as you know, you got to keep going after that quarterback until you get one.
Scott Gobranson is joining us, host of the Silver and Black Today. When you think about some of the rumors that have been bandied about, I mean, for months now, we've heard about Shador Sanders and, oh my goodness, now it's a Deion package deal. Deion said he ain't going anywhere. He's over here snatching up other quarterback recruits from other teams. What's the likelihood that this happens? This is too much of a fantasy land. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, because I find it really perplexing that there's such a controversy around Shador Sanders, too, because I think he would fit perfect in Las Vegas. I mean, Cam Ward's a good quarterback, too. I think they'd be fine with either one. But I like Shedeur Sanders. I think he fits well there. He's a smart, smart football player. Is he perfect? No. Would he have been the fourth or fifth quarterback taken last year? Probably. But that's okay. And I think that, you know, where he goes and the whole Giants thing with the cleats and all that stuff, it'll be fascinating to watch what happens there. But it makes sense, right? It's Las Vegas. It's the Raiders. You know, for those of us old enough to remember the Raiders when they were the Raiders, that makes a lot of sense. So we'll see how it all ends up. But I do think that they will try. They'll try to get up there, I think, for one of those guys. From everything I've heard, they do like Shedeur Sanders a lot. Mark Davis met him at one of the WNBA games of the team he owns there in Las Vegas, and they got along swimmingly and apparently have been in contact after that too. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be another year of change and tumult across Raider Nation as they try to figure this thing out.
Well, Scott, when you think about the existing roster and who will be on the team, I assume Max Crosby is not going to get moved for draft stock or status, or maybe. I don't know. What are some of the bright spots that these Raiders do have moving forward?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously you mentioned Max Crosby, and Max Crosby missed the final part of the season due to an injury. And remember, Max Crosby was the point guy in the Antonio Pierce PR campaign last year to get him hired as full-time coach. So, and he shared thoughts on not wanting more turnover and all that stuff. Now, that's been said, but Max Crosby at the end of the day needs a new deal. And so, I think that the Raiders are going to have to figure out what they do there. I don't think they trade him for draft capital. I just don't see that happening unless he goes to them, JR, and asks them for a trade and says, I want out of here. I'm tired of all this change. I just don't see it happening, but I never thought Khalil Mack would be traded either. Wow. So we'll see, but they have that. And then if you look at the free agents that they have coming up, they have Adam Butler on the defensive front, did really well this year, came along nicely. Malcolm Kuntz, who was on IR this year. Robert Spillane is a free agent. So they have a bunch of guys that have really shown up. We also really like their young cornerback, Nate Hobbs, out of Illinois. But again, he's going to be a free agent. He's a restricted free agent. So the Raiders have players there. And, of course, Brock Bowers had the best year of any pass-catching player as a rookie in the history of the NFL. So they have some pieces there. They still need a running back. Their offensive line has done well. Jackson Powers Johnson, the kid out of Oregon from last year that they took in the third round, did really, really well. And then, of course, you have on the other side of the ball on defense, you have Trayvon Merrick, their safety, who's now in year four. So they have pieces there. They just don't have depth, and they are missing the biggest position of all, and that's quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. as you talk about all the talent that they have, I'm going through my head, and I'm going, oh, this is great. This is good. And then I'm saying to myself, well, damn. Kansas City Chiefs have a quarterback and a coach. Mm-hmm. Looks like the Broncos got a quarterback and a coach. Looks like the Chargers got a quarterback and a coach. This is going to take some time here for the Raiders, right? We're talking about a couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you've seen quick turnarounds. I mean, look what happened in Washington, right? But they got the quarterback. So they got a good coach, too, and a good offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury. But, yeah, that's the biggest concern, JR, is in this division, in the AFC West, like the further you fall behind, the more difficult it's going to be to catch up. Because if you have, look what Bo Nix did the second half of the season in Denver, right? Not everybody was impressed with Bo Nix coming out of college. Sean Payton saw something. They went after him, and bam. Everybody, and then you look at the coaches. You got Jim Harbaugh, you got Andy Reid, and you got Sean Payton. Two of those guys have won Super Bowls. The other guy won a national championship and has been to Super Bowls. So it's really difficult. And I think at the end of the day, despite his own shortcomings, I think also that's what did in Antonio Pierce. Besides the mistake, everybody knew as a rookie head coach he would make mistakes. But I think when you look at the idea that, hey, he's got to learn on the job, which that's fine. If you trust a guy, you believe in him, great, do it. But in that division, if you want to give Antonio Pierce 2 or 3 years to learn how to be mm-hmm. a really good head coach, it might be too late and you might be in the cellar for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. So I hope things turn around for the Raiders sooner than that. With Tom Brady in the fold, who knows? I got more optimism than I've ever had before. Scott, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you, all of your work? I know you do so much outside of work with the Raiders and Silver and Black. Fill us in.
Sure, absolutely. You can check out the show. We are an Odyssey Sports original podcast. So wherever you get your audio, just look for Silver and Black Today. Also, I've got a great YouTube channel there. We're very active as well. My co-host, Mo Moten's an NFL columnist over at Bleacher Report, so you can find him there. And just search us, and you'll find us all, and happy to engage with anybody who wants to talk football, and specifically Raiders football. So I appreciate that.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much. I'm going to be paying close attention. This is one of the great, maybe not for you or the fans, but this is a great soap opera in a general sense in the NFL.
I'll be
paying attention.
Thanks, JR.
You got it. Scott Gulbranson, host of Silver and Black Today. They're just, I'm going through this list online right now. You can message me at JR Sport Brief. I'm looking at these responses. I asked everybody what NFL team is the most dysfunctional. Nate Weiser says either the Raiders or the Jets. Matt D says the Cowboys. Oh, man. Joey says it's the Jets. It has to be the Jets. Jason, he says it's the Raiders. CK says the team with an owner who needs a new barber. I think that's the Raiders. I think he's referring to. Andrew, the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Raiders. So we have a little bit of consistency here when it comes to the most dysfunctional teams in the NFL right now. I guess it's a three-way tie between the Raiders, the Jets. Cowboys, Jets, Raiders, Jaguars. That's a four-way tie, right?
Would you put the Browns in there, or are they kind of separated from at least these other four?
Most dysfunctional? Maybe it's a what have you seen? Maybe people are so used to the Browns being bad. Maybe they're forgetting about them for a while.
Which is good, because they're not doing, outside of the whole Watson thing, not doing much to embarrass themselves.
Right.
So maybe they're a step below these other four.
Yeah, a little stupid, less dysfunctional, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. It's some tough doing here right now. Ugh. My condolences if you're a fan of any of these teams. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. We come back on the other side. Speaking of dysfunctional, nobody named this team. I'm going to tell you what team. I'm not going to sit here and go, they grind my gears. I feel bad for their fans. Because when this team is good again, it's going to be by accident. This is another case of an owner who has no idea what the hell she is doing. I'll explain on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I think I may have a little bit of news on the Dallas Cowboys and what they might do with Mike McCarthy. I'll share that with you in a second. And then I did tell you there is another NFL team, quite dysfunctional, that a lot of people are not talking about right now. I'll tell you about that in a moment as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. But before we do any of that, I need to let you know about the Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the armed forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Lions linebacker Alex Anzalone. This man provided a huge spark in his return from injury. He broke his forearm. The man led the team in tackles and held the Vikings offense this past Sunday to 3 field goals. Detroit beat Minnesota 31-9. They're now the number one seed in the NFC. Alex Anzalone had 7 tackles. This man has not played since week 11 with that broken forearm. Hickey, what do you think about that? You saw that wrap he had on his arm and them stitches he had underneath there? This man is, he's tough. Well, football players are tough. They're tougher than me.
Very. I was going to say, I saw the wrap, and unfortunately I saw underneath there. Remember the Thomas Davis like kind of the same thing broke his form when he played at the Super Bowl at the Panthers. It looked very similar, almost like a football in the laces. Not kidding. Those guys, obviously, we know are tough. This is just, though, an example of just they are built different.
You think they gave him a needle before the game? No, right? Just wrap it up and be tough?
That's even crazier. Even crazier. My goodness.
Imagine if we needed a needle to come to work.
I would not. I'm not a needle guy, so let me tell you, if we had to take some shots to before we get on air, I'd be looking for a new job.
When's the last time you had your blood drawn? Not recently? A year? Like a physical? Come on, Hickey, right?
I actually have a physical coming up in a few weeks. Okay. I did not get one last year, so 2 years ago, I had a physical. I hate getting blood drawn. I always make a big fuss about it. I try not to look.
What, with the nurse? You yell at the nurse?
No. I think I'm a pretty good patient. Okay. Like in my head, my head's just going a million miles an hour.
You close your eyes, you look in the other direction, you think about something else. What do?
I look away.
Okay, smart.
I try to distract myself. Usually does not work. I mean, realistically, when the needle's in, it doesn't really hurt, you know? It's just the lead up to it.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting like the chills now. I'm just thinking about the physical I have in a few weeks. long story short, needles do not jive with. So that's the reason, Jar. Not because my speed, size, toughness. That's the reason I could never be an NFL player.
All right. Just the needle part.
Just the needles. Yeah. Either injections or drawing blood for the random, you know, steroid tests you got to do.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, these guys are tough. Man, he's some ugly Lakers. I'm looking at the Lakers. They're playing Dallas, right? How about I digress. I'm going to tell you about the other Dallas team in a second. The Lakers are playing Dallas. There's no Kyrie Irving. He got a busted up back. And then Luka Doncic got a busted up leg. Hickey, is there one reason somebody would, like, just sit down and choose to watch the Mavericks? Or am I missing something?
You don't get excited by Spencer Dinwiddie? He doesn't tickle your fancy?
I don't even know who the guy is behind Spencer Dinwiddie. I can't tell you. I don't know who the hell these guys are.
Yeah, there are a lot of nameless, faceless players when you kind of take away Luka and Kyrie all of a sudden. You're like,
I don't know. I'm not going to say they're not important and making a lot of money. So good for them. And speaking of making a lot of money in Dallas, apparently it's been reported by Adam Schefter that the Dallas Cowboys told the Chicago Bears no. You cannot speak with Mike McCarthy. They are not allowing him to interview with the Bears. Now, there's a simple conclusion that you could draw here. It's the Dallas Cowboys, so I don't know how simple it is. I would assume if the Cowboys are not going to allow Mike McCarthy to interview with the Chicago Bears, you would think that the Dallas Cowboys want to keep Mike McCarthy. Let's think about this. How big of a jerk would Jerry Jones be? How big of a fill in the blank would Jerry Jones be if he just said, yeah, you can't talk to the Bears can't talk to you, but then in a week from now, he fires him anyway? Hickey, he has to keep him next season, doesn't he? Isn't this a clear indicator that Jerry Jones is going to keep this man? He can't deny him a job opportunity and then fire him. He can't do that.
You would absolutely think logic says that exact path should play out. But it is Jerry Jones. The man knows one thing, and that's how to drum up controversy. And in order to keep the Cowboys in the news, right, I'm sure he's going to prolong this.
No, Hickey. He'll be back next year.
I think he will be back. The question is, when is the announcement made? I don't think it's coming anytime soon. Like, I don't think it's going to be made later today or tomorrow.
Uh-huh. He just likes the drama. That's it.
And loves to drag things out.
When is Mike? The exclusive window is next Tuesday. At that point, Mike McCarthy can then go chat with anybody. You can't tell a guy. Like, you're taking food out of somebody's mouth. Like, you can't be that reckless. And I did hear Jerry Jones the other day. Cooper Rush had an incentive. He didn't meet. And Jerry Jones is just like, he didn't play in the game. Like, I didn't know anything about it. And just, how could you not? I mean, maybe he doesn't. maybe he's too busy counting oil money. I don't know what that feels like. Hickey, how do you do that? With an accountant? I don't know.
With a lot of zeros. That money's rolling in.
He's eating chicken. What are you eating at breakfast? McGriddles. And
they McGriddles. They still
sell that?
Of course. I actually had one recently.
You ate a McGriddle from McDonald's?
I did.
So what is that? That's the pancakes with the eggs in the middle and sausage?
I did not. So, okay, I guess I lied. Because, the names are very similar. It's like a McGriddle or there's
McMuffin?
I have basically the English muffin, basically sausage, egg, cheese on a McMuffin.
A McGriddle is a very American thing. I'm going to take two pancakes soaked in syrup. I'm going to take a sausage, and I'm going to take an egg, and I'm going to slap it together into a sandwich. And I think Jerry Jones puts extra salt on his because he wants hypertension.
That sandwich I had, extremely salty. I have no idea how you put more salt on and live to tell the tale. Jerry's different.
Hickey, a guy asked me today, hey, JR, you go to the gym a lot. I told him I'm trying to stay alive. Hickey, this man told me. He says, well, I'm trying to do the opposite. Hickey, I didn't know what to say. I didn't
Need
know
help?
What. I was like, okay. What can you say? Anyway, we're going to try to be alive here. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move. We'll be back. We'll be alive. I promise. I think.